This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the
The Zone is presented by Guarantee Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, a Thursday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels. We head up until 2 o'clock the next 4 hours. We've got you. Tons of stuff to get into and talk about today. We got a jam-packed show. We will be talking with a couple of Matts today, a Monica and a couple of Matts. Two Matts and a Monica, the law firm of Matt, Matt, and Monica. We'll talk with Monica Abbott later on this hour. She's got the first annual Monica Abbott Scholarship Golf Tournament coming up on May 6th, Lakewood Oaks Country Club, that you can go and sign up for. We'll tell you how to get involved with that. Also, maybe how to be involved in the candidacy pool of being able to win these scholarships that she's given away to multi-sport female athletes in high school. So we'll talk with her coming up later on this hour. One of the most decorated, maybe the most talented softball player in American history, who's now living here in Kansas City, which is pretty awesome. She married a Kansas Cityan. Sounds like a great dude. I mean, I don't even know him, but I like him already. Moving from California to experience our beautiful weather. So, you know, she goes from the awful weather of Cali to the beautiful Midwestern weather, which actually, you know what, called seasons around here. There are different seasons. So she knows them as softball season and off season. We know them as spring, summer, fall, winter. Each and every month we know that.
Or Monday. Yes. That was Monday.
We know it is Monday. That's correct. So we'll talk with her coming up later on this hour. Matt Lane will be our guest at 11 o'clock, KC Sports Network, KC Laboratory Podcast. We'll talk with him about the draft coming up a week from now. He's got a story at KCSN that he put up this morning about three players that are sleepers, you know, the non-first-rounders, non-really day one and two players. So the day three, the fourth through seventh-rounders, maybe undrafted free agents, who knows. Not these particular three players, but he's got some players that maybe Chiefs fans can familiarize themselves with because of connections that are there with the Chiefs. Maybe it's from some sort of workout or things that the Chiefs like in traits. We talk about drafting for traits all the time, and maybe some other connections to the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk with Matt Lane coming up at 11 o'clock. Matt Verderam will be our guest at noon, Sports Illustrated, and we'll get his thoughts on not only the Chiefs but the NFL. A really fascinating read in ESPN about Bill Belichick and thinking he was all but certain to be the Atlanta Falcons head coach until he wasn't. And then we find out he wasn't even in their top three. We find out that the second interview in which he left thinking, I nailed it, I'm the guy, was sort of a cursory interview just as paying respect to one of the greatest that ever did it. So we'll bring you back out here and talk to you for 4 hours or whatever, even though they had already decided they weren't hiring Bill Belichick. And maybe that was because of a conversation with Robert Kraft, and Robert Kraft maybe letting his really good friend Arthur Blank steering him in a direction away from Bill Belichick. So we'll talk with Matt Verderam, because if Robert Kraft is letting Arthur Blank know maybe you don't hire Bill Belichick, and there were seven job openings, each and every one of them, according to the ESPN reporting, each and every one of them at least kicked the tires and had Bill Belichick as a thought of, do we bring this guy in? They all decided, no matter who they hired, every single answer was not Bill Belichick. And next year there's not going to be seven job openings. So I do wonder, you know, when we talk with Matt Verderam, if Bill Belichick only had 2 or 3 years left, which is part of the reporting that the Eagles were actually talking about hiring Bill Belichick, which is a real confidence boost for Nick Sirianni there in Philly. But they were talking about hiring Bill Belichick, and their issue was, do we bring him in, change everything for 2 years, and then he goes somewhere else or retires, and we change everything after that? So if the Eagles were thinking, you know, we only got 2 years with this guy, if the Atlanta Falcons part of their process was Arthur Blank, quote, hates coaching searches. So, you know, that's got to be, you know, great news for Raheem Morris. You know, I hate coaching searches, so you're just going to be here for 10 years. I don't want to do this again. But even part of that was we don't want him to be around for just 2 years and we go through this again. So if the common thought process was this guy's only got a couple of years left, now you take one more year and one more year away from football where he's in the broadcasting part of it, working for Omaha Productions and Peyton Manning's, you know, company. Does Bill Belichick ever coach again in the NFL? I think it's a legit question now, especially if Robert Kraft is going behind the scenes going, yeah, you want this guy.
Yeah, Robert Kraft is a little sabotage. Yeah. A little bit of a,
you
come on.
Dude.
He's a Patriots legend. He's going nowhere else.
Yeah.
I will say the only team that really made sense was the Eagles. Because, again, no one expects him to coach for another 10-plus years, right? Mm-hmm. That's just, I think, out of the equation here. But for two or three and you're getting a Hall of Fame best coach of all time, my thought process is if he went to a team that's already built for success, who's built for the now, and you think that he is the edge over a buffoon in Nick Sirianni, well, then you take the two or three years of Bill Belichick and you worry about the coaching search after. Yep. Falcons didn't make a lot of sense. I get they're probably going to win the atrocious NFC South, but again, they're still a quote-unquote rebuilding team. When it comes to a team that's ready to compete right now, I do think you make the move for a Bill Belichick, so the fact that the Eagles didn't pull the trigger, I think, is a little surprising.
Yeah. And maybe it's the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones likes Bill Belichick. Maybe it's the Cowboys, although does Jerry Jones want to work with somebody that wants as much control as Bill Belichick does when Jerry Jones doesn't really want a coach that has that much power or is that, you know, for lack of a better term, sort of curmudgeon or set in his ways?
Controlling.
Yeah.
They both are. And you know what would be great about that? Hard knocks.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what? I can guarantee you if Belichick went to Dallas, Hard Knocks would be going to Dallas as well.
Get a little Hard Knocks there. Well, we are hanging out at a cool spot today. Sports or Leisure comes up at 1 o'clock, and we'll have some NFL draft stuff because that goes in line with the NFL draft coming up 1 week from today. And Sterling will have the leisure side, and he'll have certain movies that we'll be talking about because we are hanging out today at Casey Cannabis, located just off of I-70, 7 Highway, and it's one of the many locations. They've got four locations now, the fifth location coming this summer near Zona Rosa, but they've got the Blue Springs location, which is where we are at today, with the drive-thru, Lake Lackawanna, Kearney, Excelsior Springs, and again, they'll be opening up one up north next to a place that I've certainly enjoyed, and maybe it's a great connection, but next to the Innitub up north, right by Berry Road and I-29, they'll be opening up their fifth location there in Casey Cannabis. They've got great specials going on today, tomorrow, on into 420 on Saturday, and today you can buy one, get one, 40% off all edibles. It's going on at all four locations, not just this location, but we'll tell you why you want to come to this location today while we are here, but not just this location, all four locations with the 40% off on all edibles, buy one, get one, and first-time customers. You get 20% off your first purchase. There are deals every day of the week, not just because we're here today, not just because 420 in a couple of days, but the Blue Springs locations, it's got the drive-thru. You can order ahead of time, and you don't have to get out of your car. Order ahead of time, go through the drive-thru, and you're good to go. And a cool thing about Casey Cannabis, it's all locally owned. All local people involved in the business, involved in the company, involved in all the locations. Local people with, you know, the heart of Kansas City at these different locations. But this location today in Blue Springs, just off I-70, 7 Highway, just north of I-70. Come in today, sign up, fill out the little form there, and put your name in the bucket, and we will draw at the end of the show for a Bobby Witt Casey Connect jersey, which are, you know, we've seen some of the alternate jerseys around Major League Baseball, some brutal-looking jerseys around Major League Baseball, and I mean some awful-looking jerseys around Major League Baseball. The Royals did it right. Their alternate jerseys are nice. They're crisp. They're clean. They look professional, even with the different numbers and name on the back, the way that Nike sort of messed some things up or whatever. But we are giving away the Bobby Witt KC Connect blue jersey today during the show. So you have to be here in person. You don't have to purchase anything, but you do have to come here to this location in Blue Springs, fill out the little registration form, and just name and phone number so we can contact you. That's it. Like, you know, you're not, Sterling is not going to sell your information anymore. We've talked
anymore,
to him about that.
Anymore.
That was a one-time thing.
I learned my lesson.
It's a one-time thing. And he's not doing that anymore. But, you know, just come here, fill out name, phone number, and you will be registered to win the Bobby Witt KC Connect that we will be giving away today. So somebody will be winning it. Somebody that stops in today before 2 o'clock will walk away with this pretty sweet-looking Bobby Witt KC Connect jersey. So that's what's going on here, along with all of the other cool specials they've got today and the cool special tomorrow with the happy hour all day, $100 mix and match half ounce. They got buck deals, concentrates. They've got the 420 specials going on Saturday, food trucks, vendors, giveaways, celebration, all four locations. And the first 100 customers at Blue Springs location get the KCC stash bag and the KCC t-shirt at this location here where we are at today. So we'll be here over the next, 3 hours and 45 minutes, and you can stop in that time to register and get the Bobby Witt KC Connect jersey.
They even have a arcade game in the corner over there.
Yeah.
I mean, they have everything.
I wish it was Pac-Man. I would school you on it.
At NARC. It's NARC.
Yeah, that's fine. That's speaking of Sterling.
Hey, pal. I do want to point out, how wild is it, like, 10 years ago you're trying to hide this from your mom, and as your eyes are as red as the Chiefs
I'm
uniforms.
Trying to.
You know, well, no, you weren't 10 years ago. Like, you're trying to hide your eyes that were as red as the Chiefs, all red uniforms. And now as I'm driving here, I'm like, hey, yo, moms, you want anything from Casey Cannabis? You need anything?
I'll be there. While I'm there, let me know. I'm hanging out there. Maybe she needs a Bobby Witt jersey.
She might.
Maybe she needs one of those.
And you're right. They're so good. It's not like the Rockies who look like a softball team that's rolling up with Limp Bizkit blasting in the background. The Phillies were like, we're not going to use any of our color schemes.
Yes.
We're going to use nothing that represents Philadelphia. And then Boston is, I get what it's for, but I don't understand it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I love the Royals. Thank goodness that we don't have to talk about, oh, God, they're wearing those jerseys. Like, oh, cool, they're wearing those jerseys. Completely different. Stop in today. Say hi to Sterling. Say hi to Hugo Ortiz while you're here as well. You'd be cooler if you did. And hang out here where we are at until 2 o'clock. Again, how the show lines up. Matt Lane coming up at 11 o'clock, talking some Chiefs. Matt Verderam coming up at noon, talking some Chiefs and some NFL as well from Sports Illustrated. Monica Abbott telling you a really cool opportunity to get this scholarship, but to help out with multi-sport female athletes. You know, the women's sports, the women's game, getting so much more attention. We are watching and enjoying, consuming the women's game a lot more, whether that's Caitlin Clark or the South Carolina team, or Monica Abbott being a softball player, the dominant Oklahoma Sooners run in the College World Series, although last year they went through her Tennessee Volunteers to win the College World Series. But so we'll talk with her coming up later on and tell you how you can get involved in that really cool golf tournament that's coming up on May 6th, the first annual Monica Abbott Scholarship Golf Tournament. Let's talk and start with some Kansas City Royals. The Royals lose yesterday. They win and lose, but it's odd that the position we are in talking Royals baseball right now is coming out of yesterday. Didn't it feel like a loss? Like splitting a doubleheader with a major league team, with what is a team wearing major league uniforms, whether they are a major league team or not, but coming out of a doubleheader and you split it and you head on the road trip and or head back from the road trip, you split the road trip there, go, 3-3, and now you get ready for these 19 games that are going to be incredibly important for this Royals team to see how they stack up, how they measure up to other teams in the American League. And the best teams in the American League, really, some of the best teams in the American League, over these 19 games. There is not a break. There is not a White Sox in between. And I get where people are looking at it and saying, okay, so, yeah, the Royals, they're sitting there with 12 wins. Right, six of them have come against the White Sox. Half of their wins have come against the White Sox. They have lost three of the other four series they have played against teams not named the White Sox. Lost to the Twins, lost to the Orioles, lost to the Mets, beat the Astros, swept the Astros at home. So I understand the skepticism that may be there nationally. And if you watched the games yesterday, it felt a little bit like pulling teeth on the offensive side. Like, we have talked about this offense being hot and cold, this offense being boom or bust, feast or famine, and I'm hoping that they're going to get the boom, the feast, the hot coming up against the Orioles this weekend, because we know they are loaded and scattered with talented players, a dynamic group of talented players all over the field that will be playing against the Royals this weekend. Gunnar Henderson is a stud. Adley Rutschman, we know about him. Colton Cowser is really good. Jackson Holliday making his debut over the last week or so, and he'll get it figured out because he's too damn talented not to. Hopefully he doesn't get it figured out this weekend because they got enough players already. And they go and get Corbin Burns and everything, and they're a dynamite team. They're really, really good. But there is a concern on the boom or bust aspect of the Royals offense in that they scored the 11 runs against the Mets on Saturday. The game before that, and every game since then, five games total, they've scored a total of 9 runs. They have struggled. They have struggled to get any rally going. They've struggled to string hits together. Luckily, Salvi is not missing time, because a big reason why the Royals did not get swept yesterday is because Salvi crushing that home run in the eighth inning and giving them the lead. And that was great. And it's like, okay, whew, you survived this one. You're going to get the next one because it's the White Sox, but you survived this one that you probably should have lost because of the way the bats were going and the fact that Brady Singer didn't get to 6 strikeouts, whatever, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
That hurt, dude. He had 5 through, what, 3?
3. Yeah, five that, strikeouts
you
in 3
and
innings.
I,
only needed
beat.
One more. Oh, well. I'm going to start betting the under on every one of them. But they get away with that one, and then they come back and score only 1 run. I mean, they score 5 runs yesterday in the 2 games, but they were sitting there with, through the first 8 innings or 7 innings of the first game and the entire game, sitting there with a total of 2 runs. Entire second game, sitting with a total of 2 runs. They run into a couple of home runs. And so I think there's a concern right now for the offensive struggles for this Royals team, because if there is an expectation that there will be a regression to the mean with the starters, that Seth Lugo is not going to have a sub-1 ERA, that Brady Singer is not going to have a 1 ERA, that Michael Wacha is not going to go out there with a sub-2 ERA, that this is not going to continue, it's not sustainable, then the offense needs to pick it up so they can continue to play close to .500 ball. Now, they've given themselves a 5-game head start in playing .500 ball. They can play sub 500, or, you know, 5 games under .500 the rest of the way and finish 81-81. So they've given themselves a little bit of a head start. And these 19 games, if they finish 5 games under, you know, in this 19 game stretch, so that would be what, 12-7? If they finish 12-7 over these next 19 games, and they're sitting there at, or 7-12, I should say, not 12-7, but
yeah,
sitting
exactly.
7-12.
If
they went 12-7, then get your.
I was like, wow, Jason, you're very bullish.
If they go 12-7, go ahead and get your playoff tickets printed, all right, and just count on being out there in October. But 7-12, then they're sitting, you know, 19-19, coming out of this stretch through the first 38 games. When you go out, the first 40 games, you get a real good idea of what this team is going to be when you're talking about a quarter of the season. So after this stretch is over, a quarter of the season will be done, and they will be essentially a .500 ball club. And if you told me that before the season started, I would have absolutely signed up. I would have raced to sign that contract, whatever it would have been, for this team to be 19-19 in the first 38 games, because we talked about just stay afloat. To me, .500 ball is more than staying afloat against the teams they'll be going up against. And that's just simply playing 7-12 baseball over the next 19 games.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. Right even now, I know we're a little disappointed as the Chiefs, or as the Royals sit at 12-7. You're sitting here going, yeah, you would have liked to sweep the White Sox, but at the end of the day, they've done their job against them. They've lost 1 game against the White Sox.
Yeah.
I think you take that. I know expectations change as the season goes on, but there's still reasons to be enthused. And I want to talk about the pitching staff first and foremost. We knew Brady Singer and Michael Wacha and a lot of these guys, Seth Lugo. It's maybe not sustainable, but we're starting to see more of the norm from them. And again, we know the White Sox offense is atrocious, right? This is not news, but the fact that Brady Singer yet again goes out without his best stuff, velocity down yet again, for some reason deciding to throw his four-seam fastball and his changeup far fewer times than he traditionally has. I don't like that trend, personally, against a lineup that has five lefties in the lineup. But he still was able to go and gut out five innings, being effectively wild at times, and two runs given up, right? I think you take that when it's considered a down start for Brady Singer. I will say his slider was on, but the sinker, four-seamer, and changeup clearly were not. And again, it's the White Sox offense, but you take that. And going back to Michael Wacha, Wacha was fine, right? He was fine, but he wasn't necessarily spectacular in this one. Mm-hmm. The changeup was great, but that was about it. Michael Wacha goes through six, two runs, two walks, four strikeouts, only four hits given up. Is that the White Sox ineptitude offensively, or is that Michael Wacha finding a way to grind it out when he does not have his best stuff? We've not seen a blow-up performance yet from the pitching staff, the starting pitchers at least, and I think that's a very good sign. Going back to the hitters, you and I have talked about this. I've been very adamant that this is who they are. They're going to be very up and down, roller coaster ride offense. You're going to see games with 9-10. You'll see a lot of games with 0-1-2. Right now, everyone was scuffling beside, or in the previous, 10 games, everyone was scuffling besides Vinny. Or no one was scuffling besides Vinny.
Yeah, right.
And now it's only Vinny and Salvi that Vinny's are really crushing. Doing anything. Bobby Witt is still getting some numbers, but we're not seeing the bombs. And even last night, Nelson Velasquez had one that could have gone out.
Yeah, so
but
close.
Guess what? You're playing on that ballpark that night, so it does not. It's just, they're going to be an inconsistent offense. If you saw the rumblings in the minor leagues of Michael Massey, you saw Drew Waters getting pulled from a game as well. Mm-hmm. What's that mean for Kyle Isbell, for Dairon Blanco?
I don't think it means anything for Isbell. I'll say that. They love Isbell in center field.
I know they love him in center field, but that bat is becoming unplayable, in my opinion.
I think when you hear J.J. Piccolo say the evaluation season number two was to see if Isbell could play center field full time, I think he's pretty ingrained in playing center field. But we'll see what Drew Waters may mean. But certainly Michael Massey. Definitely Michael Massey with how he was, swinging the bat down in AAA. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We are hanging out at Casey Cannabis today. Buy one, get one, 40% off on all edibles. That's going on at all four locations. But today we are hanging out at the Blue Springs location. They've got the drive-through. First-time customers get 20% off your first purchase. They can walk you through the process. If you've never been to a dispensary before, welcoming place. Kansas City owned, Kansas City people, local people as well. They got four locations. This location where we are, Lake Lotawanna, Kearney, and Excelsior Springs. They got a fifth one coming up north next to Innitub. And stopping in today before we are done at 2 o'clock, we're going to be giving away, they are going to be giving away a Bobby Witt KC Connect jersey. So you come in, sign up, register, and you can win the Bobby Witt KC Connect jersey. We will give it away today before the show is over. And you got to be here. You got to be here to register. So stop by, say hi, say hi to Sterling, say hi to Hugo, and you'll be cooler for it. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone on the other side to talk a little Chiefs football, and then we'll hear from Monica Abbott as well. We got Matt Lane coming up. We got Matt Verderam. We got Sports or Leisure. More Zone next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're hanging out at Casey Cannabis today, our location. 913-912-4810 is the text line. Text says, used to hide it from my parents, now I hide it from my kids. There you go. That's fine. 913-912-4810. Text says, hard to sweep a doubleheader, to be fair. Even when they suck, they would win one of two. Yeah, I mean, but it's weird. It's the feeling now with the way the Royals are playing and the optimism and excitement there. It almost felt like yesterday was a loss by only taking one of two of the White Sox. It's like, damn, they lost yesterday. Well, they won.
Did they? Did they win?
How
really
great does that feel, though?
It doesn't feel good because it felt like they lost him.
No, that we have expectations now. Like, how great does that feel? Last year you were praying for a split.
Yeah, but last year I could just go about my night and not have to worry about, the Royals are on. And? Not on my TV. You know, I'm not paying for Bally's outside. I'm not paying $20 for Bally's to what, a month for that. I'm paying it now. You know, so you're right. I mean, there is an element. I'm joking. But, yes, there's an element of you're watching the game with so much more of an emotional investment, and it's just 19 games in. Yeah. And it's awesome. It's so much fun. And this weekend should be a lot of fun with a really good ball club in the Orioles that we've already seen them play. We saw them, and they could have swept that series in Baltimore. So we'll find out what happens this weekend. Let's hear from Ben Sinnott, who, you know, we talk about draft crushes that go on throughout the draft season. And the more and more the days pass and the closer we get to the draft, I am slowly becoming somebody that wanted to and would like to and certainly wanted to see Ben Sinnott in a Chiefs uniform. Now I'm evolving to the point to where I'm going to be disappointed if he's not. Like, I've gone to that degree with Ben Sinnott and the Chiefs. Like, it's like, oh, that'd be nice to see if they draft Ben Sinnott. Now, if next week comes and goes and he's on a different team, I'm like, what the hell? I mean, why even have the draft if you're not going to get Ben Sinnott from Kansas State? Like, it's amazing what's become of that. He was on Total Access and NFL Network with Sam Weish, and he was asked about a minute long, clip number one there, Dylan. He was asked about what do you bring to the table as an NFL prospect?
Total Access. Ben, thanks so much for the time. You saw the board right there. You are the second highest graded tight end by PFF. What do you think your attributes most translate to the NFL game?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that I bring so much versatility with my alignments, with what I do, and what K-State entrusted me with. So, I mean, I just think I have the ability to fit into any scheme, do whatever the coach needs, whether that be in-line tight end, flexed out, at the H, in the backfield, kicking out on power, man. I'm willing to do whatever they need.
So you are a true unicorn because you are an all Big 12 fullback, but we see you all over the place doing that. But what do you think that versatility will do as far as getting you playing time right away?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that coaches can plug me into whatever they need, whether I'm at the Y playing tight end in 11 personnel or playing F in 12 personnel. Being able to just be in for three downs, staying in the ball game, and being able to play with what we want to do offensively, I think it's super valuable in this league, and especially with where it's going with tight ends.
So there's Ben Sinnott, and as I said, I'm becoming somebody that has gone from wanting Ben Sinnott to be drafted to now I think I'll be disappointed if they don't draft him. In fact, if they don't draft him, I'll be at the Y. I'll be, why? Why are you not doing this, Andy? The hell, man? What's your issue? Why do you hate Kansas State, Andy Reid? BYU, Mizzou, all this stuff.
And FAU, I would push back with last year's first rounder, but I
why do. Why are you bringing up old stuff, Sterling? Huh? Why are you bringing up old stuff? We're talking about now. We're talking about the future. You're talking about what happened, 11 and a half months ago.
You know what really helps is that he was listed as a fullback last year. So that and the number immediately knocks him down one round.
But it's one of the things I do want to ask Matt Lane and something that we'll talk about as we lead up to the draft, because I think Ben Sinnott is a part of the conversation, is Andy Reid completely done with the fullback? Like, has he completely moved on from the fullback? Because when Noah Gray was drafted, they still had not the sausage, but the bratwurst that I can't remember the name after Anthony Sherman. They had the not Anthony Sherman fullback. is what I like to call him. And then they move on from him, and it's like, well, there's no fullback. Well, Noah Gray can play the H, and he can play the full. He did that at Duke. This is more in line with somebody that can actually do that, where Noah Gray was like, it could do that. He can actually do that while being a good tight end. So if Andy Reid is completely done with the fullback, then maybe that takes a little bit of the value away from Ben Sinnott, not to me. But if he's wanting to reincorporate that some more, then hell yeah. Go get number 34 on your team. Give him whatever number he wants. I don't care. Well, not whatever number he wants. He's not going to wear number 16 or 87 or
15.
Well, you can't wear 15 either, but 16 being
Dawson.
Well, I was going to say he's going to pay Mahomes for it.
Is he going to? Is that what's going to happen? He's going to pay Mahomes to be number 15. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Continue rolling along. Real quick, text says, I'm honestly mad the Royals are decent this year. I had to fork over my hard-earned money to Bally Sports for the most garbage app in the history of the internet. You ain't wrong. You ain't wrong. By the way, right now, I'm pretty sure I'll have to sign in again. Looking forward to the Royals game tomorrow where they'll make me re-sign in to Bally Sports. Not sure. We'll take a timeout, come back. We will talk with Monica Abbott. The first annual Monica Abbott Scholarship Golf Tournament coming up on May 6th, and she'll tell you all about that. And one of the most talented, certainly maybe the most decorated college softball player we've ever seen, who's now living in our backyard. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk with Monica Abbott next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. We head up until 2 o'clock. Time to talk with somebody who is one of the best, maybe one of the most decorated softball players that has ever lived. It is Monica Abbott joining us here in the zone with the first annual Monica Abbott Scholarship Golf Tournament coming up on Monday, May 6th, Lakewood Oaks Country Club in Lee Summit, Missouri. Monica, welcome into the show. How are you?
Hey, nice to be here, and thanks for having me on.
No, we really appreciate it. There's so many things I want to ask you about and talk to you about, especially with this golf tournament coming up, but I'm always curious, and we have former professional athletes on the show and live here and things like that. I'm always curious how somebody from a different area of the country, from California, ends up calling Kansas City their home.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, my husband's from here, and
sounds like a great
decided,
guy.
he's such a great guy. You know, those Kansas City guys, they'll get
for sure,
you.
For sure.
So, my husband's from here, and it made the most sense for us as we were deciding where we wanted to settle to make Kansas City our home.
That's very cool. No, we certainly appreciate it. Whenever there is somebody that has your background and is also wanting to do some things in the community. That's really cool as well. In the first annual Monica Abbott Scholarship Golf Tournament, tell us about what's coming up on May 6th and what the scholarship, where it goes and who it helps.
Yeah. So I have, a two-time Olympian and played softball at the highest level. And so I started this scholarship for female athletes. They have to be multi-sport athletes. And every year since 2013, we've been giving out two of them to athletes all over the country. And since we've moved to Kansas City, we need to make a big push and make a bigger fundraiser, put a little bit more time into this scholarship. So we're hosting a golf tournament to, create a better future for these young athletes. Of course, I want every female athlete to go on to play college softball or college sports. But I also understand that that's not always the case. Sometimes people go to college on a softball scholarship or a basketball scholarship, and they might only get room and board, or they might only get books as a percentage of their scholarship. So there is still it's not always a full ride, and that means there's still a financial piece that has to be involved for these families. So I created this scholarship that is based on leadership and their athletic ability to help ease some of that burden and to help create that opportunity so that hopefully these athletes stay in the game in college and eventually come back to the sport after they're done with school and find a way to be involved in their career in sports.
If you want to register your team for this golf tournament, you can go to MonicaAbbott.com, MonicaAbbott.com. You can register your team. There's sponsorship opportunities, certainly, silent auction items for those that want to play
yes.
and participate in things like that. I'm curious, how do you enter the pool of candidates to be, selected for the MA-14 scholarship for this multi-sport female athlete that's given out?
Well, the scholarship, you apply online for the scholarship, and it's actually, you just apply online like anything these days.
Very cool.
And there's a committee that picks the winner.
Very cool.
And there's a committee that picks the winner. Unfortunately, I don't get to pick the winner. I have to set the categories or the criteria for that year. So I can put in things like, hey, you have to be a softball player, or you have to, you know, have a 3.5 GPA or things like that. But I'm not the scholarship rules. Yeah. I'm not actually allowed to be on the committee that picks the winners.
I
just get to kind of set the criteria. But we're excited for the golf tournament and the opportunity to really put some love into this scholarship. Shields has come on as a big sponsor for it. So May 6th, we're excited, a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
To put on a good event.
I get it. The first ever, you know, there's so many things of the unknown, right? I mean, you've been through in your career so many first times, and first time, you know, head to Tennessee to play in a college softball game. First time with the, you know, Olympic team. There's these first times that you don't know what you don't know yet. And that has to be one of the more nerve wracking parts. And it's why certainly we want to be a part of it and help grow this thing, because it's for such a great cause. But yeah, I can imagine the nerves and the nervous excitement that goes into May 6th. That seems like it's right around the corner right now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, we are pretty blessed so far. We have some great help and some good sponsors that have come on board, but you know, you go through all the details. So that part makes you nervous. And until everything shows up and it's running smoothly, you're always thinking, okay, did I cover everything? Did I, you know, is there enough food? Is there enough drinks? Is there, you know, is everyone having a good time?
Yeah, those are things that you just, I guess, you don't know until you get there. I'm pretty sure people will probably be having a good time when they're out there. Lakewood Oaks Country Club in Lee's Summit, Missouri. MonicaAbbott.com is the website. Monica Abbott is our guest. I'm curious, as someone who is, you know, you spent so much of your life on the softball field and doing so many different things, whether it's going to Tennessee or with the U.S. Olympics. From your perspective, seeing this growth in women's sports and coverage of women's sports as well, certainly with Caitlin Clark and the WNBA, but also I know it wasn't Tennessee, but you know, Oklahoma's dominance on the softball field and the Women's College World Series and the ratings for that, and unfortunately they did, you know, go through Tennessee for the College World Series last year, so sorry about that. But there's more attention that's being paid now. More people are watching and appreciating the women's game.
Yeah, it's incredible. It really is. I think we have seen some big stars come through women's sports, right? Some big names. We've seen the Jocelyn Allos in softball. We've seen, you know, a Monica Abbott back in our day. We've seen people that have started to build the momentum. But for someone like a Caitlin Clark to come in and completely capitalize on that, a generational talent that is just going to change the landscape of women's sports that we've all been trying to do, it makes me feel so good. It makes, I think, every female athlete across sports feel great. And it's really props to the coverage, I think, and the storytelling, right? An athlete is good skill-based, but when we see the stories that the media puts out, it makes us invested in her. It makes us invested in the team. And it makes it fun to watch, right? Like when I know the struggles, when I know the joys, when I know the excitement, when I know why she gives a heart to her family, you know, after every win, things like that, it makes you excited to look for those things. And that storytelling that the media is doing, that coverage, that latches people on. And I just think as women's sports continue to grow because of the past, but also because of hopefully this tipping point with Caitlin Clark, things will just continue to take off for not only women in the collegiate level, but hopefully that'll, you know, trickle into the professional side of women's sports.
Monica Abbott is our guest. MonicaAbbott.com, the first annual Monica Abbott Scholarship Golf Tournament coming up Monday, May 6th. One of the most decorated and best softball players that has ever lived. And I wonder from this standpoint, you know, when we talk about the women's sports and the impact that Caitlin Clark is having and, you know, more attention being paid, and certainly UConn women's basketball has been there, but back in the day it was all about Tennessee, you know, and the Lady Vols and Pat Summitt. My wife is a huge Pat Summitt fan. She's got a water bottle signed by Pat Summitt when she went to Pat Summitt basketball camp. And the best thing, she tells the story, Monica, of her and one of her friends, they're like in junior high, and they somehow got lost and showed up to like late to a clinic, and somebody told them, you show up late again, you're going to go see Pat. So they actually discussed whether or not they should show up late. So they would get to go see Pat. It may not have been on a good thing, but they would get to go see Pat, even if it was from a disciplinary standpoint.
Yeah, like they that were would be worth it.
In junior high, they're like, should we actually show up? I mean, don't you threaten me with a good time. I may show up late just so I can go visit Pat.
Don't you threaten me with Pat Summit making me run? Yes, I'll run through. Yes, I'll run through the brick wall for her.
Absolutely. Like she went to WKU, so she went to Western Kentucky, but she loves watching Tennessee basketball, mm-hmm. the women's. And I think when I think of women's sports in college, I think Tennessee was one of those that was, you know, sort of on the forefront of embracing the women's sports, and it's not just on the basketball side, but certainly the softball side as well. Like they feel like a university. That whether it's perception from the outside or maybe it was reality, you played there of more of an embracing and appreciating the women's side of the athletic department.
Yeah, you know, Tennessee definitely, I think it was a reality. It was one of the reasons that made me want to actually go to Tennessee. I think at the time, Tennessee, you know, having the Lady Vol logo, having the athletic department that supports women's sports, and that was a big part of basketball and Pat Summit's, you know, legacy, but it trickled into every aspect of women's sports and not at the university. So Tennessee really did support their female athletes, and not every school was like that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we were able to get good stadiums, get good travel budgets, and, you know, Tennessee softball went to the Worldwide of Sports my freshman year, and we had like a 2-week camp down there. You know, we were able to do all those big things, you know, in that decade that I played because of the support of the university. And at the time, that wasn't across the board at every school. You know, I think I can say I believe the SEC was at the forefront of that, and at the forefront of the SEC, Tennessee led that charge. And now what's really cool is that obviously we're seeing it all throughout the country, across conferences, across social media, and we're seeing stars. We're seeing female athletes become stars.
Well, I mean, and when it comes to softball, I mean, if we look at Texas and Oklahoma going into the SEC next year, I think, what, 9 of the top 12 in the top 25 rankings are in the SEC? So it's, maybe winning the SEC is more difficult than winning the College World Series.
Yeah, you know, we talked about doing broadcasting for the SEC and ESPN right now, and we're talking about coming into postseason play for softball in May, and right now I think 11 of the 12 teams in the SEC will make postseason play. There's only one school that's on the bubble, and that's Ole Miss. Amazing. And then you just add Texas and Oklahoma, which are both relatively ranked 1 and 2right now in the polls. So adding that is just going to make it the conference even stronger. So it's going to be an exciting postseason this year. A little bit more parity, but definitely some big softball stars like Nyjah Kennedy, who's actually a Kansas City Metro native. And then obviously Tennessee softball as well as up there. So big shout out to them and their flamethrower, Carlin Pickens. So hopefully they make a good run, but Oklahoma and Texas for sure are going to be two tough teams to beat.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun to watch. I look forward to the Women's College World Series every single year. And Nyjah Kennedy from Topeka, I believe, is where she is from, Topeka, Kansas. Monica Abbott, monicaabbott.com. One more time, tell people how they can get involved with the first annual Monica Abbott Scholarship Golf Tournament coming up Monday, May 6th. It's at Lakewood Oaks Country Club in Lee Summit.
Yeah, Monday, May 6th, we have a 12:30 tee time, 11:30 we'll serve lunch, but we would love to have you out. Consider this your personal invitation. You can register your team on monicaabbott.com, the scholarship golf tournament page, and it's going to be a great time. We have some good events planned and looking forward to seeing you.
Absolutely. Monica Abbott joining us, monicaabbott.com. Monica, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciated it. Enjoyed the conversation, and look forward to the College World Series and the coverage and everything, and certainly the golf tournament coming up on Monday, May 6th, the first of what will be many, many here in the Kansas City area, and many female athletes getting an opportunity to excel, and an opportunity may not have been there with the scholarship that will be given out. Thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, there's Monica Abbott. MonicaAbbott.com, where you can go and check out and register your team, sponsorship opportunities, silent auction items will be up there, and more. Again, MonicaAbbott.com. That comes up Monday, May 6th, Lakewood Oaks Country Club in Lee Summit. We take a timeout. We come back. More Zone next.